Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
What a beautiful day. Oh. Thanks for being all together and starting it this way. Thank you. So I'm presuming some people just came in. Is that true? So why don't we just sit just a bit so people can... just as much as possible, completely be here. Just breathing in and breathing out, that's all. I am so happy to be here. I'm Bonnie Vebunker, and 36 years ago I walked in the back door of Minnesota Zen Center. So Katagiri, Daini Katagiri Roshi, was and is my teacher, and I received Dharma transmission from Tim Burkett, the abbot and guiding teacher here. And I live in Mid-Coast, Maine, when I'm not here. And we can talk about the snow during tea. So, in Mid-Coast, Maine, I have the great privilege to be an interfaith chaplain, and I serve hospice there. Wrong paragraph. This is so I can see the clock. Could you move it, Paul, just a little bit? Oh, I can see it. Thank you. So, as a hospice interfaith chaplain, I have this opportunity to be with dying people and their caregivers, their family, their friends. And we know that relationships are complicated, and no less so when someone's dying and after that death. Survivors can be very confused and complicated grief. So I'm often invited to be part of the planning and officiating the funeral or the memorial. And I offer people this wide array of verses and poems from many traditions, because people's lives change. And the deceased person and their families could have very different experiences, have different practices, different from what they grew up with. So I offer a lot of different things. And they often, well, they always choose the same reading that I always choose, which is the memorial echo. And echo, E-K-O, is a Japanese word, and it means the transferring of merit. And it is included in your, you don't have to look at it now, we will use it right at the end. But it's a short, powerful, six-line, poetic, lively verse. It has everything in it. So when they're choosing and they choose that, I know that it's touched their heart. And it certainly has touched my heart greatly. It's often read, well, in Buddhism it's read right after the Heart of Great Wisdom Sutra. And in an interfaith service, it's read after something less Buddhist. What would be less Buddhist? I don't know. So here it is. I'll read it the first time. Earnestly consider. The coming and going of life and death is like the changing of hot and cold, summer and winter. Their coming and going is like a bolt of lightning striking through an empty sky. Their passing is like waves disappearing into the great ocean. Then there's a place for the name and the date that the person died. The karmic bonds that held you to this existence were exhausted, and your great life suddenly came to an end. We heartily pray that you bloom like a flower of wisdom in the garden of enlightenment, like ripples lapping the beach of truth. Realizing the transiency of all worldly things, enter nirvana with joy. Reciting the Heart of Great Wisdom Sutra, this wholehearted assembly respectfully prays that great good fortune adorn your path of awakening. Six lines. That's it. It has everything. It covers everything. Even those first two words, earnestly consider. After my last memorial in Maine before I came here, people came up and said, oh, thank you for that service. Thank you. I had just this memorial echo in a whole funeral service, just this. Other people came up and said, oh, that was so grounding. It's just what we needed. And one person came up and held my hands and looked deep into my eyes and said, earnestly consider. Wow. I was like, goodness. Everything in here is just fabulous. The first section in here actually is about impermanence, the first two lines. The third line, the dynamo line for me, is about your great life. And the last two lines is about the echo, transferring the merit. So, earnestly consider the coming and going of life and death is like the changing of hot and cold, summer and winter. Their coming and going is like a bolt of lightning striking through the empty sky. Their passing is like waves disappearing into the great ocean. This great ocean, what a teacher. As all nature is, what a teacher. And yes, I am privileged to live four blocks up from this confluence of fresh river and salt waters. This great mother ocean takes one deep, long breath, 6.5 hours or so in, and then exhales for that same amount of time. Then there's a little pause. And every time that 10-foot tide comes and goes, everything is changed. The shore is changed. And in winter or storms at high tide, it is greatly changed, dramatically. Every tiny little bit of rock, every bit is rearranged. You really have to look close to see that. And the spring and runoff spills finding their way to the ocean are moved. They don't come up in the same place. They don't come down in the same place. Waves are always water, but water is not always waves. But I've seen whitecaps out here on Lake Calhoun. And you can look deeply there. You can earnestly consider what is changing all around us all the time. So in the book, not that one, in the best Buddhist writing of 2013, Norm Fisher says, impermanence isn't just a reality we have to accept and work with, and I would add, or grapple with or be grappled by, it is enlightenment itself, manifesting moment by moment in time. Norm quotes Dogen Zenji, the founder of Soto Zen in Japan, in an article titled, Impermanence is Buddha Nature. The nature of this world, this universe, is impermanence. We have all the scientific evidence we need for that. Dogen says, impermanence isn't a problem. to overcome with diligent effort on the path. Impermanence is the path. Ah. Did we expect a solid, unchanging path? I wonder. Practice isn't the way to cope with or overcome impermanence. It is the way to fully appreciate and live it. Practice is the way to fully appreciate and live impermanence. I love this. We are already always living impermanence, aren't we? Realize that. In every moment, we get to see the truth of impermanence. It is everything, everywhere, all the time. I remember looking for one of Thich Nhat Hanh's books. He's so prolific. I was looking for peace in every step. I couldn't find it. And I thought, well, maybe it's peace is in every step. No, that wasn't it. It was peace is every step. No gap. No gap there. Peace is already here. In every step we take, we get to realize it. We don't put peace in our steps. Peace already is. We can experience peace in our steps. We can notice them there. Each step coming and going is already peace. Let those steps teach us peace. Peace is every step. Impermanence is the path. Impermanence isn't only loss. Sometimes it's renewing, sometimes it's refreshing. So it's loss and gain. It's good and bad. It's joyful, and yet something is gone. So earnestly consider, impermanence is the path. That's the teaching of the first two lines. And this brings us to the third line, one sentence in the middle of the memorial echo, and it is a very powerful one. So there's a story that goes with this. The first time I heard it was 30-some years ago. I had asked Katagiri three times, and three times he said, no, no need. And I said, yes, I need. And then finally he said, okay. He would do a memorial service for my father, who had died 26 years earlier. His death, my dad, Felix, was very, very complicated for me. He was seriously ill by the time I was 8. He was in and out of the hospital. Doctors at that time had to keep people alive forever. There was no choice to end treatment. He died when I was 10. Nobody in my family could possibly help, knew how to help a child with that kind of loss and actually trauma. So the circumstances around his death were so very complicated. It really had me. So I was in therapy, any kind of counseling, for years, trying to have him and that trauma of those 2 years let go of me. And then, my first 7-day session here, in that deep silence, I realized that I could let go of him and the trauma. And I did. So the point is, I wanted a memorial to celebrate that. That I was able to let go of this entanglement for so many years. And I wanted to be present at a memorial and a burial, because as a child, that was like make-believe. It was a farce. I wouldn't believe he was dead. I wouldn't accept it, even though I knew it was true. And now I wanted to do that. I wanted to. So, Katagiri said yes. So to prepare for this, I wrote a eulogy with the help of a new Dharma sister, friend, and writer, Natalie Goldberg, the best possible help anyone could have. I prepared my dad's favorite food, which would go on the altar, and that was crackers, soda crackers, Nabisco soda crackers. Anyone remember them? I think they're called original now. With thin slices of Kobe cheese. The column, it's about this high, and it's wrapped in wax. Thin slices. Little salt. And a bottle of Rahr's beer. I don't remember exactly if Katagiri agreed to that or if I had to sneak it in a little dish or bowl, but it was there. It was on the altar. So I invited some new Sangha friends from here. My youngest brother, only 4 years older than me. Old friends that had moved here at about the same time I did. And I set a zafu and a zabutan next to mine for my brother, who didn't come. He said he wasn't ready. And having newly escaped from Catholicism, he didn't want to get mixed up in another religion, which he worried I had. I wrote all the negative messages my dad had ever given me on little strips of white paper, folded them up and put them in this wood box, this handsome box that I had carved in a high school art class. Later that week, I intended to go back to Kewaunee, Wisconsin, where he was buried, dig a little hole above his casket, put in the box with the messages and his favorite food, and I did pour in a bottle of Rahr's beer. Could smell it. It was really nice. So, I invited friends to that, old friends that still lived in that area, one being a Catholic priest and my three older sisters, an older brother. One sister said she would come with me and stand with me while I read the eulogy. We would sing some songs, and Father Tom would give a blessing. And eventually I did all of that. But back at Zenzen, we set up for the memorial in what was the Buddha Hall and is now the Founders Hall with a picture of my dad. You've probably seen this on the altars here when someone has passed. Picture of my dad in his very favorite white V-neck T-shirt, taken at the paper mill where he worked, and a little piece of paper folded over that had his birth date, January 2nd, 1900, and his death date, August 7th, 1954, and beer, crackers, and cheese. I'm all set. So, friends are sitting on zafus behind me, Katagiri's in front. The cushion for my brother is right there, just in case he comes. He doesn't. And the service is started with inviting the bells and the chanting of the beautiful Heart Sutra. And then Katagiri starts the memorial echo, which I had never heard before. Earnestly consider the coming and going of life and death is like the changing of hot and cold, summer and winter. Their coming and going was like a bolt of lightning striking through the empty sky. Their passing is like waves disappearing into the great ocean. Felix Veboncur, on August 7th, 1954, the karmic bonds that held you to this existence were exhausted, and your great life suddenly came to an end. I heard nothing after that. Stunned. I just was kind of numb. Open and blank. Blank and wide open and silent. No thought. No non-thought. Just this huge space going in all directions. And this immense, loud silence. I heard nothing at all except that. No sense of time. I had no idea how long I stayed cracked open. I could feel people moving around, standing up. Katagiri was gone. There were hands on my shoulders and back, kind of asking, are you okay? My eyes were blinking. My face was wet. Great life started to form like a visual sound. It was like tiny bits of confetti were kind of coming back, forming something, a thought, a habit of thinking, slowly, very slowly returning. My father had a great life? Stunned by that, every time I said it to myself. How can that be? My father had a great life. My father had a great life. Over and over again, just saying that. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. What is this? What is that? What is all of this? I say the memorial echo every chance I get to remind myself, to keep that fresh, and to let other people know. I say it at every funeral, every memorial, every 49 days after a death service, and at every interfaith service, because people always choose this. I am so very happy to tell them that their friend, their mother, their grandpa, their cousin, their child had a great life. Ha! Huh. It's like I know this secret. But I can say it out loud. I don't have to just slip it into someone's coffin like I did 3 years after this when my mother died. I had a little tiny black onyx stone carved Buddha, and I slipped it into her rosary wrapped hand while she lay in the coffin.
Oh!
And she was buried with it. Oh, I was so happy. This is not a secret anymore, Dad. You had a great life. I have a great life. Everyone has a great life. Isn't that incredible? Katagiri used to say death was a big shock. And it is for everyone. But this great life news was a big shock for me. So my Zumi's book talks about this. I know you're familiar with this book. A lot of you. It's a fall practice period. Mm-hmm. Appreciate your life. The essence of Zen practice. So, the title, again. Like some books, all I need is the title. That's it. I got it, you know? And this is like that. And it's like impermanence is the path. Appreciate your life. Your great life is the essence of Zen practice. So, what did you do here? Fall practice period reading this book or a study group last fall? Fall practice period. So this will be very familiar to you. How can we experience the life that we are living now as an infinite, literally limitless life as the subtle mind of Nirvana. For the irony is that we are all living such a life. We are all living this treasure, and yet we see it as something other than this. We do not see that our life right here, right now, is Nirvana. Maybe we think that Nirvana is in a place where you have no problems, there are no more delusion. Maybe you think that Nirvana is something so beautiful, so unattainable. We always think that Nirvana is something other, very different from our own life. But we must really understand that Nirvana is right here, right now, just this life. Truly, be one with your life as the subtle mind of Nirvana. And that is what subtle means. It doesn't mean something that is hidden, nor something that is elusive. It means it's something that's right here. Dogen Zenji again says that because our life is this, we attain realization. Ah, our practice is the realization that our life is just this, just nirvana. I have written all kinds of notes in here. Ha ha. Every day we have the opportunity to realize this. We do not have to wait till that last moment at death, although it's nice to know it's there. But we can realize this beautiful life, this great life that everything has, that we have. For whether we realize it or not, being born and dying, renewing our life thousands of times per second, I'm sure you've heard those huge numbers, how many times that happened. We are always living this unsurpassable life just as we are. I think Tim's subtitle of his book is Nothing Holy About It, Just Who We Are. So it's that same thought. This is our life. This is our practice also. So if your practice is breathing, be breathing. Just be breathing. And I actually heard, and I don't remember the source, be breathed. Be breathed. Enjoy this wonderful life together, as we are today. Appreciate the world of just this. Genuinely appreciate your life as the most precious treasure, and take care of your great life. Now the last three lines of this verse celebrate echo, transferring the merit. So they go. We heartily pray that you bloom like a flower of wisdom in the garden of enlightenment, like ripples lapping the beach of truth. Realizing the transiency of all worldly things, enter nirvana with joy. Reciting the Heart of Great Wisdom Sutra, this wholehearted assembly respectfully prays that great good fortune adorn your path of awakening. Ah. So while I was looking for some information on echo, not easy to find, E-K-O, echo, it's Japanese. I'm sitting with a group in Belfast, my little eclectic Buddhist group, and we're actually reading Returning to Silence, Zen in Daily Life by Katagiri. And we go around, we pass the book around, we read maybe a paragraph, we can stop and experience some silence after that. Someone may have something to contribute about their own life or practice, or we just keep reading all the way around. And it comes to me, it's my turn. I have this paragraph right here. In the chapter of Buddhist Faith and Practice, he's talking about the 10 steps of faith. The 7th step of faith is echo. I'm so surprised. Look, here it is. Which means to transfer one's merit to others. This is a very important practice and also one of the beautiful ways of life in Buddhism. And then he kind of goes through some of the earlier practices. If we discipline our life and maintain one-pointedness, our life becomes very simple and we can understand others and live with them in peace and harmony. If at this time we say, I did it, this is not so good. We have to return to the source of existence, which is called emptiness. And another word that I use is the great potential for everything. That is to let go of whatever we have in our hands. Let go of I did it. This means let go of, this is one of his favorite words, stinkiness. Let go of stinkiness. If you become a doctor and say, I am a great doctor, that is stinkiness. If you become a Zen teacher and say, as he always did when talking about himself, I am good boy, that is real stinkiness, he says. We should return our merit to emptiness, and then that is simultaneously to give merit to others. People realize how beautiful this is, and his example is really lovely. For instance, through discipline, ballet dancers manifest their dance, living in peace and harmony with the orchestra, the music, composers, the audience. Next, they return to emptiness. This means they just continually dance, return to emptiness, dance, return to emptiness. This is the perfect beauty of dance. We cannot know what this beauty is, but we can see it. We are already impressed by this kind of dance. This is the beautiful practice of echo. In Buddhism, when we chant, we dedicate the chanting of the sutra to someone. And the memorial echo, we transfer it to the person who has died. But in many cases, the people who are grieving, transfer it to them too. I love reading Katagiri's words. His language is quite delightful. So, sometimes an echo can be a very simple thing. You're probably familiar with them from here. Something simple like, may the merit of this practice benefit all beings in all times and all places. And you can do that for absolutely anything you do in your life. May the benefit of this walk benefit all beings in all places and all times. May the benefit of this meal, may the benefit of anything you do. Impermanence is the path. Appreciate your great life is the essence of Zen practice. Transfer all merit of all action to all sentient beings. I would like to read the memorial one more time with all of you. And in that space where it says, name of the deceased, feel free to put someone's name there and the date if you know it. And say it out loud in this community or say it to yourself. And I will use my father's name again. If you have one. Yes.
Clarify where that is, because it's not on our sheet,
that line. That line is not on your sheet. Could I see that?
Yes.
I'm so sorry. I proofread this. Where did it go? Oh, it's gone. It's the third line, right above the karmic bonds that held you to your existence were exhausted. That's where the name goes. And the date, if you have it. So is that clear enough?
Where does it follow? What's the light immediately
before? Right before it, their passing is like waves disappearing into the great ocean.
And then you say the name.
Then you say the name and the date if you have it. Okay. I'm so sorry for that. Cheer. Ready? Earnestly consider the coming and going of life and death is like the changing of hot and cold, summer and winter. Their coming and going is like a bolt of lightning striking through the empty sky. Their passing is like waves disappearing into the great ocean. Felix Gerbonker on August 7, 1954. The karmic bonds that held you to this existence were exhausted, and your great life suddenly came to an end. We heartily pray that you bloom like a flower of wisdom in the garden of enlightenment, like ripples lapping the beach of truth. Realizing the transiency of all worldly things, enter nirvana with joy. Reciting the Heart of Great Wisdom Sutra, this wholehearted assembly respectfully prays that great good fortune adorn your path of awakening. Let's just sit silently for a few minutes. If anything comes up in this deep silence that you would like to share, we do have a few minutes where we could do that.
Yeah. Walter Scott, April 2015.
Thank you. No comments or questions? Additions?
When I think of people who've been in my life who have died, I start doing a gratitude practice. I guess for the great, I start doing a gratitude practice for the people who've been in my life who have died, and just, I guess, a real great appreciation for their great lives and our relationship and friendship. And that helps me. It buoys me in my life.
Thank you, Susan. No. Possibly.
No. Thank you.
What about the funeral? A young woman died. She was about 19.
Rosemary.
Yeah, so I went to the funeral. A young woman died, she was about 19, and it was a family funeral, so it was in their hometown church. And the mother wanted something Buddhist that she can hear for something in the very fast. So I went and I read this, and about halfway through the funeral, I realized, I'd gone in not knowing anything, and I realized that halfway through that this young woman had died of a terror accident. And family was just completely blown apart. But the mother, after the meeting, told me that she really loved her.
Thank you. Yes.
I just want to say it's felt very powerful when we all said it together. Mm. It really brought something to the room.
Awesome. Yeah, you're very welcome.
When my grandmother died, I didn't ask to have the echo here, and part of that was I did, because of who she was and the way I knew her, and also my intuitive sense at that time, I had a sense that she doesn't linger. She didn't linger. Mm-hmm. She had a very strong essence of impermanence about her anyway. Oh. And I don't know, right now I feel kind of confused about that. But that is possible too. And I don't know what about that, but.
Thank you.
I just want to say thank you for sharing your personal story. I'm curious, it sounds like you have a number of siblings.
I do.
That, struggle in their own ways in dealing with your father's death. And I'm curious if your process or your sort of sharing of your journey with them was helpful to them ultimately, or if they came around and figured ways to work through that trauma on their terms.
Huh.
Or not.
I'm the youngest of six, and they don't listen to me that much at all. It's a really chatty place, and I'm down here. I'm not sure. My one brother, who's only 4 years old, and I call him my youngest brother. He's not my younger, but my youngest brother, has come here. He has come to all my ordinations and services. And I think his concern for me was the greatest thing, that I was involved in something cult-like, and, you know. But he does, I think he thinks about it more. The others are so much older, and maybe I should stop talking about this. I was going to say, and so Catholic, it is just, yeah. So I don't know how they, actually don't know how they've dealt with it. But I feel my youngest brother did get to a place where he could say goodbye to him also. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that question. I saw a hand move, or, yeah.
Test.
Oh.
I think it would be good to point out that we do this Memorial Echo here, mm-hmm. As well as services for people who are ill and other mm-hmm. kinds of ceremonies. And if anyone has a need for that sort of thing, please don't be shy about asking, because we have to do it.
Yes, we say yes. There's only category was a no. Thank you. Thank you for that reminder, Ted. Was there someone else? Was there a hand in the back? I saw that.
Could you explain what Echo translates and what the meaning is again?
Transferring the merit to others. Yes. And you can always find it on page 142 in Katagiri's first book.
That book was actually missing from the library.
It's not. No, this is my copy.
I know.
Oh, but it was missing from the library.
I just bought a new copy.
Good. Good. Who takes care of the library?
I do.
You do. You just bought one. There wasn't. Yes, I knew it. Thank you. Yes.
I have a question. Have you ever shown this to the dying person before their death?
I have not. That's a wonderful idea.
Yeah. I just am experiencing some people in my life that know their life is going to be short, and I think this might bring them some solace.
Uh-huh. I use the essence of it, or all of these teachings, in visiting or blessing someone in a language they can understand, but I've never read this. That's to them. That's, or showed it to them. Or made that suggestion. Thank you so much for that. Yeah. I hope it's useful to you and them. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Ooh, it's time. It's time for tea and conversation and celebrating the day. And if you want to blame me for why you don't have any snow, that's fine. We did take it all. We took all of it. And we shoveled all of it. And we're never going to take all of it again. Thank you very much.